Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. B'chayras Daf Tess, we begin at the Mishnah, which is around 8 line lines from the top of the Amud. We have a fellow who owns a chamoira. Okay, so it's a female donkey. Shaloi Bichra. Shaloi Bichra comes from B'chayr, right? She had never yet given birth. Shaloi Bichra. So this is her first. In which case, if it's a male offspring, that firstborn donkey is considered petach harmor. It has kedusha, requires pidyon, must be redeemed with a se, right? A sheep, a goat. Chamor shel bikra. So he has this chamor, who's birthing for the first time. V'yolda shnei zecharim, and she births two male donkeys. We only consider one to be firstborn, and therefore, noising tola echad l'kayin, the owner has to forward one tola, one sheep to the kayin, in exchange for that firstborn. So we don't give them both firstborn status, as we're going to see in the Gemara. It's just one or the other, in which case he redeems one, wherever he is, and he gives that tola to the kayin. So even though he can't really identify which one it is, the pidyon works on whichever one is the first. Now let's say this same donkey gives birth for the first time to twin donkeys of both genders, Zohar and Unakeva. In this case, he's not really sure if there is even one obligation, because perhaps he wasn't around to witness the birth. He doesn't know which one was. Perhaps it was the Nekeva that came first. In which case, the Zohar that followed as number two will not be considered Petachamar. There's no requirement for Pidyon. But maybe there is. Now, we have to realize in the Pidyon Petachamar process, there's really a double element. There's the Isser factor, which is sort of between man and Hashem, and Adam Lamalkaim. Right, and then there is, which requires redemption, requires a pidyon to happen. But then there's something called the mamonos, the financial element within this whole system, which is that you owe that goat, that sheep, that was used to exchange the petach harmor. You owe that to the kohen. Now, let's say you have an uncertainty, you have a suffix, such as in this case, I'm not sure whether I'm obligated or not, whether there is even a firstborn male donkey or not. So on the one hand, whenever we have a suffix regarding matters of Isur, we have to be stringent. We have to cover all possibilities. So he has to make that pidyon, just in case. But he does not have to give it to the kohen. He can keep it. The owner keeps the sheep used to swap the petach harmor, the possible petach harmor. Mafresh tola echad la'atzmo. He designates a tle. Rashi says Mishum Safik, because it's a Safik. Rashi says Mafkil of Kedusha's Petach Hamor, on which he transfers the Kedusha, meaning he swaps it for the Petach Hamor, if in fact there is one, and he keeps it. Mafer Shtei Echad La'atzmo. Next case, Shtei Chamoira Shlei Bikri. He has two. Donkey is giving birth for the first time. Yoldu Shnei Zecharim. And he ends up with two male offspring. So he knows. He has two Petach Hamors. Noisin Shnei Tloim L'Kayim. He forwards the two sheep to the Kayim. No question there. Zechor Nekeva. He comes back to the barn, he finds one male, one female. Or two males and one female. In this case, there's only one male petach hamor. He forwards one letter to the kohen in exchange for the petach hamor. But let's say these two donkeys gave birth to a crop of offspring as follows. Two females and a zachar. In which case, maybe both donkeys give birth to the female first. Meaning, even the one that had the Nekeva and the Zohar, maybe it was Nekeva and Zohar in that order. So there really is no Chiv at all. Furthermore, he comes back to the barn, he finds a double set of twins, two males and two females. He doesn't know who gave birth to what. Ein kan l'koyin klum. In this case, the koyin gets nothing. But it's very possible that there was no firstborn male. But as Rashi points out, the owner still has to set aside the Tleh and make the swap. Rashi says actually he has to do two swaps, just in case there were two firstborns, but since it's a Suffolk, he can keep it. Next case, Achas Bikru Bachash LeBikru. He has two donkeys. One, it's not her first time, and one, it's her first time. Yardo Shnei Schorim. And he comes back and he finds two males. One giving birth by each of these donkeys. So he knows one of them is a petachamar, one goes to the kohen. Zochar Nekeva comes back and he finds male and female. Perhaps the male came from the veteran mother and the female came from the first time mother, in which case there's no petachamar requirement. Once again, mafresh lech la'atzmo, he has to make a pidyon, just in case, but he keeps the sheep. Shnemar, how do we know that in fact the pidyon petach hamar takes place with a seh? Shnemar u'petach hamar tifteh, you exchange it with a biseh. Now says a general term relates to sheep, relates to goats. Min akvasim could be from sheep. Min ha'izim from goats. Zachar nekeva, male, female. There's no gender or size or age or value limitation here. Zachar nekeva, god of a katna, could be a big one, a small one, plumim balmum, unblemished, blemished. You can actually use the same sheep many times over, Rashi explains. Let's say you deliver it to the kohen, now it's his. It's his own personal belonging. He can give it back. He can sell. He said, look, I'm not a farmer. I don't know how to raise animals. Please do me a favor, take it back. And he sells it back to the farmer. The farmer can now recycle that same seh many times. Nichnas ladir lis aser v'meis nenen boy. This will be discussed in the Gemara. Now the Mishnah began with a double header, right? Chamer shel bikra, first time birther, and out come two male donkeys. Only one is a petach hamar. The question is why? Why not both? Perhaps they both came out simultaneously, a double header, literally. Mantana, who's voicing this opinion in the Mishnah? Amar b'yirmiya to look Rabbi Seglili. It's not Rabbi Seglili, because according to him, he's speaking about actually kosher firstborn animals, and he says, there's a double header. They're both going to the kohen because it's possible they both came out simultaneously. Efshal etzam same. It could happen, and they both have kedusha. Our Mishnah apparently disagrees. It's not likely that it came out together. Efshal etzam. We don't assume that it came together. It was sequential, in which case one is in, one is out. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Seglili, Rabbi Seglili, because according to him, Amar, he tells us efshal etzam. It's possible that it should be an exact simultaneous double birth. Amar Abayi, no, I feel the same. Rabbi Seglili, guess what? Even Rabbi Seglili would agree in our case, only one is Kaddish. Shani Hosn, Dechziv Haschorim Lashem. Because it's only by the kosher firstborn where both become Kaddish, because the Pasuk relates to it as a plural, Hazochorim, even a double header, both will be Kaddish. As opposed to Petach Hamar, where only one is Kaddish, even if it's an exact, it's an actual double header. Well, why can't we learn Petach Hamar from the other halacha b'chor? The pasuk says ha hazochorim. The extra hey limits it to only first kosher borns. Ika diamri. There's another version of this discussion. Lema, perhaps we can suggest that our Mishnah that doesn't apply kedusha to both in a double header situation. The loy is unlike Rabbi Seglili, because the e. Rabbi Seglili, because according to him, Amar tells us, Efshalet Samsem, you can have a double header. Amar Baye. I feel the same, Rabbi Seglili. Well, actually, even according to him, here it's different, because here it's Petach Hamar, Shani Hosn, Dechziv Hazucharim Lashem. It's only by the firstborn kosher animals, but not over here. So, again, the Mishnah describes a double header, where only one is Kaddish. According to Abaye, it could be consistent with the Rabbi Seglili as well. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, no. According to Rabbi Seglili, of course, both will be Kaddish. And now Mishnah is not following that Shita. Continues to go. Bishlam Rabbi Yirmiyah. So certainly according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, the loy muki look Rabbi Seglili. He doesn't identify the Mishnah of ours with Rabbi Seglili's position. In fact, our Mishnah holds it's not feasible to assume that it came out together. That explains the difference in in Lashon, in wordology. In the Mishnah over there with the double header by the firstborn kosher, it says Yotzu Shnei Rashem Ke'echad. Both their heads emerge at the same time, because it's going to be secretly that it's possible. But our Mishnah does not refer to such a term, because our Mishnah is reflective of the Rabbanon, who don't consider that to be a practical theory. Then our Mishnah can be full and well like Rabbi Yisrael Levi, who says you can have a simultaneous double header. The reason why there's no double kedusha is because Petach Homer is different. Okay, so but why doesn't the Mishnah refer to the same language? Just describe it as a double header if that's possible. Allah by listening should say v'yotzu shnei rishen ke'echad. V'oitan, another question we have. On Abayi, who says that Rabbi Yisrael Levi would differentiate, he would say that Pepetu Chamar, even if it's a simultaneous double header, there's no double Kedusha. We have a Braisa, which says clearly otherwise, quoting Rabbi Yisrael Levi by name actually. Vaitanya Chamar Shalai Bikra, so it's her first time birthing. Yodh Shnei Scharim, she birthed two males. Vyatsu Shnei Roshen Ke'echad. It's an actual double header. Rabbi Yisrael Levi, Aymer, Shnei Lekayin. They both belong to the Kayin. Shnei Mar Scharim Lashem. It's even both. Now, actually, this pasuk, Hascharim Lashem, a minute ago we related that pasuk to the other type of Bukhar that was in the context of the firstborn kosher animal. So why does the Braisa cite that pasuk of the kosher animal with respect to the halacha of the Petach Hamar? But this pasuk that you're quoting as a source for Petach Hamar is actually Bakdushas HaGuf. That's in the context of a firstborn kosher animal, which is inherently kosher for the Mizbeach. That's where it's cited. So you have to revise the Braisa a bit. Ela Mishum, instead of Shenamar, Mishum Shenamar Hascharim Lashem. Just like over there, a double header has double Kedusha, we equate Petach Hamar to that as well. We compare Petach Hamar to firstborn kosher, and just like over there, you can have a double header, double kedusha here as well. Clearly, Pesach Lili disagrees with the Halacha Na'al Mishnah. He says you can have a double header and they're both kedush. So in fact, this is unlike Abaye Tiyuft. It's a refutation of Abaye Tiyuft. We turn to Amitvei. Rabbanon who say, no, there's no such thing as an actual double header. Inevitably, one came out first, one followed. Fine, okay. So one is Kaddish. But even that, why is that one Kaddish? A Petah Rechem has to be expelled, has to emerge from the Rechem and have contact with the walls of the womb as it's emerging. But here there's a Chatzitza, there's a barrier. His brother alongside him is getting in the way. True, he's lagging behind, but the fact is he is being Chaitzitz. He's separating between the firstborn and the walls of the womb. Rabbanon lema kosavri Rabbanon should the Rabbanon have to hold that miktsas rechem magdish, that even partial contact with the rechem is enough to give it kedusha, because you don't have the whole thing. Dikul le rechem magdish, because if the entire womb is required for generating kedusha on the firstborn, you don't have that. Nid yishal et samdan, true. Let's not assume that both came out simultaneously. Fine, one went ahead, one went behind. But what about the chatzitza factor? Chatzitza meyayika. Amarav, no issue, min b'minei nechaitz. It's two items of the same type of material, same type of status, don't, interfere with each other. It's all one, happy family. Now Rashi actually points out, according to Rabbi Yisrael Lili, this whole question never began. There was no issue to begin with. Because really you can ask the same thing. I mean, fine, they're both coming out together simultaneously, it's a double header, they're both colored. But inevitably, one is interfering with the other from making direct contact with the... So Rashi says, that's not an issue. Why? Listen to the lesson of Rashi in the fourth line from the top. Since they're both Kaddish, whatever you say, it is certainly one entity, one experience, one entity. There's no issue of Chatzitz. The question was, going to Rabbanon, that only one is Kaddish, one is not. That second one gets in the way. The answer is, min b'mina in Chatzitz. Zohar nekeva mafresh tala b'chul. So when there's an uncertainty regarding what happened there, the male, the female, he must designate a sheep and do a swap, but he keeps it. And the obvious question is, he's going to keep it anyways, why bother doing the process? Why does he have to designate and to remove the Isra? As we explained, there are two elements to address. Is the Isra, which is personal, that he has to do regardless of whether or not the kohen is deserving of that. And then the question of forwarding it to the kohen. From that, he's exempt. But step one is to do Alma. So what do we see from here? He's required to address the Isra inherent in the Petach Amor, irrespective of the financial element. Apparently, prior to removing the Isra through the swapping process, Osir Bano, he can't have any benefit from the animal. And that's what he's trying to address and resolve. Mani Masnis and Rabbi Yudi. Apparently, Amish is following Rabbi Yudah. It's a big much like us. Yeah, you have to do Petach Amor. What happens if you don't? What happens until you do it? Is a donkey off limits? Could you use it? Or what do we say? Listen, it's your personal belonging. You have to do what you have to do. You're obligated. It doesn't make it usher. Big machlokes. How much this seems to indicate that it's usher. And that's what he's trying to address and resolve. Usher bano. Masnis man Rabbi Yudah. It's Rabbi Yudah speaking to Sanya. Petach Amor usher bano. Div Rabbi Yudah. There's a girl said Rabbi Yudah. We just said Petach Amor prior to redemption is usher bano. Rabbi Shimon Matur says it's okay. You can use it, although you meant to swap it, but you can still use it. My time with Rabbi Yudah. Why does Rabbi Yudah apply in Isra? Where is he coming from? Ama'ula. It's plain logic. Do you ever find something which requires pedia, requires to experience a redemption process? You know, like we have Hegdish, we have other things. You have to be paida, and until you do pedia, it's asur bahana. The pediah relieves it of its isser. Likewise, we'll assume the fact that a petach mar needs pediah indicates that it's usser until that point. Do you find something which requires a pidyon and it should be accessible and usable prior to pidyon as well? Unlikely. So as the Gemara v'loy, you don't find any precedent? Farib b'char Adam, mazal tov, the firstborn son, he needs pidyon aben, but you can still interact with him. Shetzerach pediah mutar. So that sort of contravenes your theory. Ella, rather, we'll revise it a bit. Here, the Torah is very specific in its requirements. You have to be poided with a sin. You know, it's a very specific process. So we'll assume the fact that Torah is so specific that really it's usher until you do that. Ella, yesh lecha davar shekpid alav Torah b'seh. Do you find me another example of something which the Torah requires a seh only umutah and it could be used before the pidyon? Miik pita, really? Is there a specific requirement to use a seh? You can use a chicken soup if it matches the value of the chamor. Miik pita varav nacham, ya breder of Yosef. You know what he did with his firstborn donkey? Perkli b'shulk. He redeemed it with cooked vegetables. B'shavya, because it was worth exactly the value of the, it matched the value of the donkey. Right? So you see, the Torah is not very demanding in terms of what to use. Perkli, b'shulki, b'shavya. Says the Gemara, yeah, b'shavya l'kaminan. Of course, if it matches the value, of course, there's no discussion. You can use anything if it matches the value. It's a value for value. We're talking when it's not matching up to the value of the chamor. The chamor is worth $1 million, and the sheep is barely $2, right? Trezuzi, chad gadi, right? Kikamri was speaking Shalei B'Shavi when he's attempting to make the redemption, the swap with a sheep which is, doesn't match up to the value of the Chamor. Well, Kikamri, we meant to say like this. If you take that other route, the non-value route, so in that route, you have to use exactly a seh. So you see, the Torah is makpid, and since there is such specificity, we'll assume the Torah is particular about not using it until you do it right. Says the more really very meiser. I'll give you another example where Torah is specific and very exact in its requirements. Meiser sheni shekpidal of Torah because of tzura. Torah is mak that use a coin with a form on it. You can't just use a slug, all right? So there are requirements. Utnan, and we have a mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a meizet kiddush. Isn't there? Rabbi himself speaking, and he says, look, if you take meiser sheni, you give it to the woman in lieu of a ring, right? Under the chuppah, you give a sack of bananas for master sheni material for kiddushin. It works. But amazing, if he did it knowingly, it works. Okay, so despite it being master sheni, and despite the very specific, precise pidyon requirements. Apparently, it's mutar b'hano. Well, but petach hamer nami mekatcha. You're right. Guess what? If you do the same with petach hamer, you give it to the woman instead of a ring, it works. Despite the fact that perhaps it's asher b'hano. Why? Why? To Rabbi Lazar, in line to Rabbi Lazar as explanation. Don't Rabbi Lazar, you know why it works with Masa Sheni? I mean, you'd think it doesn't work because what benefit does she have from it? She has to take it to Yerushalayim. Isha Yadas, the woman knows full and well. She Masa Sheni Meschal Al Yada. She knows that despite the fact that this fellow gave it to her in lieu of a ring, it doesn't lose its kedusha, and she's going to have to take it to Yerushalayim. I'm talking that she knows that it's Masa Sheni. She plans on making a trip. She knows she's traveling to Yerushalayim, and she's going to take it up with her. So that's the benefit that she has from it. You know what? The same exact principle can be applied to Betach Hamar. The Betach Hamar Isura is based. She knows full and well Petach Hamar is Asr. Perhaps if we're going with that approach, it's really Asr. But she also knows the Halacha. She went to Beis Yaakov, she knows. She has this goat in her backyard, she'll use it as a pidyon. And the surplus value of the Hamar over that Seh is what she's counting on for a Kedushin, a Mekatcha, and she's willingly accepting it as a Kedushin, Bahach de Beni Beni. Because of the value of the chamar over that seh. So bottom line, yeah, you can use even something which is technically osher b'hanoah for kedushin if there's some gain or benefit for the isha from that item. In any case, Rabbi Yehuda holds petach chamar is osher b'hanoah until you do pidyon. No, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. What's his position based on? My taima. Amar Ula, he says just the opposite. How could you say petach hamar is aser b'hanoah pre pidyon? Amar ula yesh lecha davar she pidyonim mutar hu aser. Do you then find a case? Give me an example of something where the pidyon, the item used to exchange that original entity, will be mutar hu aser, and the original should be aser. Meaning, since the seh used to swap the petach hamar is given to the kohen as his personal belonging, it's fully okay. That's indicative that the original Petach Hamar had no Isser either. Otherwise, there would be a transfer of Isser from the original to the exchange. The fact is, the exchange is Mutter. Apparently, the original is Mutter too. Veloy, really? You don't find the exchange should be Mutter, but the original should remain Asr. Very Shvius. Shvius produce, right? Fruit that grew on the seventh year, the Pidyoinim Mutter. The Asur, you swap it for something. Right? You sell the Shvius produce, the money is mutter, and the Viasura, but the original fruit remains, still retains its Kedusha, its Shvius status, and has to be eaten with, you know, before the deadline, while it's still available, while this type of food is still available out there for the animals. So, well, no, Shvius Nami Bidana Asura. Actually, the exchange of a Shvius is also Asura. Dhammamaz, we learned Ha'achron Achron Asura, fellow exchanges. A whole string of exchanges. He takes the Shvius fruit and uses it to buy meat, and uses the meat to buy wine, uses the wine to buy oil. So the last item on the list, which is considered ultimately the exchange for the first one, is considered has Kedusha Shvius, just as the original Shvius material retains its Kedusha. So there goes our question. We thought we had a kasha, we thought we had an example of something where the pidyon is mutter and the original is aser. Actually, the pidyon is also Usher. Okay, so basically that's Reb Shimon's perspective. He says, look, the fact that the Seh, given exchange for the Chamor, is Mutter, apparently the Chamor himself has no Isser. Okay, so just to recap, what's the status of the Petach Chamor pre-Pidyon? Reb Yehuda says Asr Bahano, Reb Shimon says Mutter Bahano, and it was based on Svaroi's on logic. There's another way to explain this Machlek, it's based on the Pesukim, sourced in verses. It's a question how to learn the next pasuk. The Sanya, as we find in a Brisa. So there's a pasuk regarding a firstborn kosher animal, which reads like this: Loi Savoid, Bibichor Sharecha, you should not work with the firstborn, you know, bull, which has Kedushas Bechor, nor Veloy Sogois Bechor Tzonecha, should you share the firstborn, you know, Tzoyin, sheep, or goat, right? Now, why Sharecha? Why accentuate that it's yours? Why Tzonecha? What's that coming to emphasize? Lesani, Lesavet Bibichor Sharecha. Says Rabbi Yehuda, it's coming to exempt an animal born from a partnership between yourself and a guy. But you can work with an animal, even if it's firstborn, if it belongs partially to you and partially to Achirim, to the guy. Now Rashi points out, even though Rabbi Yehuda back on the page did not exempt a Bechor born from a partnership between a Yid and a guy, yeah, that's regarding your monetary obligation. You have to send a check to the guy reflective of a value of half that animal, your part, but inherently the animal is not Kaddish, because the guy's presence exempts it from Kaddish. And likewise, regarding a firstborn son, you shouldn't share the firstborn kosher if it's completely Jewish owned, but if there's a partnership, it's exempt from Kaddish. But the guy says you can share Shalcha v'Shalcherem if there's a partnership. So according to Rebbe, there's no reference or allusion in the Pasuk for the status of a petach hamor before pidyon. We're not discussing that. Rabbi Shimon, I mean, he has a different approach. He says the pasuk is allowing us to have anof on b'chor adam, firstborn son. There's no iser hanoah there. And like soga is b'chor tzenecha. Oh, it's coming to exempt. Firstborn kosher animal is inherently kosher, it belongs to the Mizbeach, but a Bechor Chamor, even pre-Pidyon, you can have an off from it. Hence, Rabbi Shimon's position that it's Mutar Bahanah before Pidyon. Now, Bishlam Rabbi Shimon, Hayinu Dachsei Terei Kroi, Rabbi Shimon, there are two paths to the Pasuk, and each one teaches us something else. One is to exempt Bechor Adam from Israel, one is to exempt Bechor Chamor. El Rabbi Yehuda Terei Kroi Lemutei Shalchav Shalchem, Lamali, we're going to Rabbi Yehuda. The Pasuk is simply a recurring theme, exempting the guy's partnership with respect to Bechor Shor, with respect to Tzoyin. It just seems like a repetition, the same exact exemption twice. Vesu, another question, Rabbi Yehuda, Bechor Adam Namin Leimu Da'asar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no exemption for Bechor Adam to be Mutar Barna, so perhaps it's Asar Barna. El, rather, it's like this, the Kuli Alma, Shor Chalamutei Bechor Adam Da'asar, all agree that part one of the Pasuk, Shor Cha, is exempting Bechor Adam, you could have an off from him. The question is how to apply the second part of the pasuk. The reader is going like his sheet. The Damur says, even if there's a good partnership, it's still chayv in Bechor. So you think that it's a full blown Bechor, even with a partnership. And that's why Torah has to go out of its way and say, look, despite the fact that it has some Bechor status to it, financially at least, but lemishri because of avoided to allow sharing it and working with it. Rabbi Shimon Savar, Rabbi Shimon says, well, in any case, there's a even a partial ownership by a goy exempts the entire thing. Rabbi Shimon Savar should have said, it's totally exempt. There's no element of a b'chor at all. So why bother allowing its use? It's not a b'chor. There's no need for the pasuk to point out to allow using it. Rather, the pasuk is exempting petach hamor from Israel. No, hence his source. Now, Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda, Hayim Dachsev Tzoncha V'Sharcha, Otto Tzoncha. See, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the punchline of the Pasuk is Tzoncha, completely owned by a Yid. Then it has Kedusha, but otherwise, if it's not Tzoncha, there's a partnership with a guy, it's exempt. So, in part B of the Pasuk, Tzoncha is very critical. That's the, you know, that's the pivotal point to the pasuk. So the question is, why in the first part of the pasuk by Sharcha does it say Sharcha? What's the Cha coming to tell you? Sharcha to Tzoyncha, on account of Tzoyncha, just you know, matching language. If you need to say Tzoyncha, so it starts with Sharcha as well. El Rab Shimon, according to Rab Shimon, there's no message in Sharcha, in the Chaf, in the right, and Tzoyncha, because again, according to Rab Shimon, The first part of the pasuk is simply exempting Bechor Adam, And the second part of the pasuk is exempting Petach Hamor. It could have just said Shor. Don't work with the Shor that exempts the Adam. Don't work with the Tzayin that exempts the Hamor. So why Cha? Why Cha? In both instances. El Rav Shimon Shor Cha, it's an Cha Lom Likashya, it's an unresolved question. Okay, so in a nutshell, a fellow had a firstborn donkey. He has to do a pidyon and hand the pidyon to the kohen. So there's a suffix involved. He still has to do pidyon to exempt him from the iser, but in terms of the actual tzaleh, he can keep it. Now, why bother doing the pidyon? Because there's iser. There's iser. Evidently, we're going like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the chamor is aser pre-pidyon. It's based either on a svara. Now, we don't find that there should be so specific and precise in its requirement if it would be mutar bahano. Or it's based on a pasuk. Basically, the way Rabbi Yehuda learns the pasuk, there's no exemption to allow petach hamor bahano. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, he says petach hamor is mutar bahano even before pidyon. Because according to him, there's a svar going the other way. If the seh, which is the exchange, is okay, apparently there's no isra to begin with. Otherwise, it would transfer to the exchange. Or because he has a pasuk to exempt petach hamor from isra hanoah. Turns out that our Mishnah, which describes a double birth, twin zacharim, where only one is kaddish, not going to rizek lili, because according to him, Eshelet Samson could assume it's a double header. At least the Tesis points out, even if we're not sure, right, at least the chance, so you would have had to treat it like a suffix. So one goes to the coin and the other one, right, you would keep, but you would still have to make the swap, right, because there's a possibility that it's a real simultaneous double header, so you have to treat it as a suffix. One is certainly and one is a suffix. In fact, the Mishnah just treats one as Kaddish and just ignore the other one. Apparently we're not going to reject Lili. Yeah, Shalat Samson, only one is Kaddish. What about the chatzitza issue? In b'minay, ain't a chatzitza. Okay, we'll pick it up tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. All the best to you, and hatzlacha rabbah.